Today is January 25th, 2017, and this is episode number 395 of the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, Managing Editor at TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, and I'm nothing more than a wombly digger. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a message at, or a note even, whatever. ACM@macobserver.com. We're here. Talk to us. Wow. Love to hear from you.
Yeah, yeah. He's the wombly digger, and he's okay. He wombles all night, and he sleeps all day.
Got a bit of a wombly throat.
Yeah.
That was last week or the week before.
Yeah, but you know, you've gotten over your wombly fever.
Yeah, no. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. Listen. We're going to end up going. First of all, we should mention we have a sponsor.
Yes, we should.
We have a sponsor, Blue Apron. They're our sponsors, and we're going to talk to you about how to get some free food.
Om nom nom.
Yeah. Good stuff, huh? Secondly, we're going to end up talking about technology and politics intersecting. Just letting you know right now.
Yeah, but we're well-reasoned, rational people, so it'll all be good.
I'm getting cranky just thinking about it. I'm going to be honest. I'm getting cranky just thinking about it.
I was trying to keep from scaring people off before we got.
Yeah, well, you know what? No false promises here. You may not want to listen to this show.
So you're not looking for alternative facts about our attitudes?
Alternative facts. Orwell would be so proud. No, I'm not. This is technology and politics. This is not straight politics. This is where politics affects the technology world. It's an important topic, and we believe that it is important to talk about this. So, yeah. But before we do that, because I'd rather finish the show off cranky rather than starting it off cranky.
All right.
So let's talk about iOS 3. What is it? iOS 10.3.
Yeah, iOS 10.3. So it's out as a developer beta right now, which means that if you're not in Apple's paid developer program and you've been frantically tapping software update on your iPhone trying to figure out why it's not there, well, that's why, because you're not a developer.
Right.
So I've been running it, and my phone still works.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. I was actually worried, because after I installed the update, I went through this weird stretch for, I don't know, it's like 4 hours, where my phone didn't ring or do anything.
Huh.
And I thought, oh, crap, I'm screwed. No, it turns out that no one wanted to talk to me.
Well, why wouldn't you just ask someone to ping you, like me? Why wouldn't you say, hey, dude, send me a text message?
You're still asleep.
Oh.
And I am not going to interrupt your beauty sleep.
I'm woefully short of that at any given moment.
Story of my life.
Yeah. All right. But there are some interesting things. It's actually a fairly, I don't know, I'd call it a significant update.
I think it's a very significant update. Okay. Here's one thing that people will notice right away, assuming you have AirPods. You can now use your iPhone to find your AirPods, assuming you have lost them.
Was it you who said, when is Apple just going to start calling it Find My Apple Stuff?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, the Find My iPhone app will find your iPhone, so it's accurate in that sense, but it'll also find your iPad, and it'll find your Mac, and it'll find your Apple Watch. So we're at the point where it just...
And AirPods.
Yeah, and now your AirPods.
In 10.3.
Yeah. So now we're at the point where we just need to give up this pretense and go ahead and start calling it Find My Apple Stuff.
It's a significant service, by the way. It's one of those things that Apple does so well that we don't even think about it.
Yeah, it's actually really good.
We take it for granted. And it's not only good, I personally have found it very useful on more than one occasion.
So have I. I have a fun Find My iPhone story to share with you from Macworld a few years ago, when Macworld was still happening. So, you know, Ewan Rankin from British Tech Network?
Of course.
So Ewan was out here for Macworld, and he had a bag. It was one of the bags that had been given to instructors. Mm-hmm. And so everyone had these bags that looked alike. He was actually using his, and someone accidentally picked it up and walked off with it. And so his iPhone was in the bag. He couldn't call anyone. He couldn't do anything. So there was a group of us. We all pulled out our iPhones, and he logged in to find my iPhone so we could all run around and try and track down the person that had his bag. And ultimately, it was recovered. But Find My iPhone was so critical in that. And I mean, we could tell everywhere this person was going. And they went outside the Moscone Center and went and got a coffee. And ultimately, I think it was Ewan that caught up with them back inside the Moscone Center. And they were quite mortified that they had accidentally picked up his bag that had his iPhone and his laptop in it.
Of course. And, you know, another part of the service that I've used quite often is the ability to ping your own devices so that they'll make a noise so you can find them.
Yes. Yes.
Super useful.
You know, in the spacious palace that I live in, mm-hmm. that's been handy on more than one occasion.
Sure. LOL, spacious palace.
I know. And it's kind of funny that even in my place, I think some people have garages that are bigger than my apartment. But I have a great location. Anyhow, I've had to use Find My iPhone in my own apartment.
I've done the same thing. It's great service, and it's a misnomer at this point. And I feel like Apple should actually rename it. I mean, we're joking about it, but I think that Apple should rename it. It should be Find My Apple device.
Yeah, it's time for the change. But mm-hmm. the real point is, now that I climb back out of that big rabbit hole, is that you can find your AirPods. So your AirPods don't have GPS in them, so it has to use Bluetooth to try and guess their proximity to your iPhone. And then the iPhone, since the iPhone knows where it is, it can show on a map where your AirPods are in relation to it. So if you're out of Bluetooth range, it won't work with your AirPods.
It won't work, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But you can ping your AirPods.
Only if they're in Bluetooth range.
Right. So, like, if you've been sitting on the couch and you realize you can't find your AirPods, you can ping them and hear them beeping in the couch cushions.
Right. That will be useful to people.
Yeah, assuming people are actually dropping and losing their AirPods. I don't know anyone that has yet. I'm not saying it's not happening, just that I don't know anyone that has had that problem.
Right. Someone's going to find that useful.
I have no doubt.
Yeah, that's interesting. And then the another thing was Andrew wrote this up for us, where developers are going to be able to respond to reviews.
Yes, that's great, and at the same time, not.
So you talked about that this morning on
a TDO. Little bit, but I've learned more about how this works since we talked about it on TDO this morning.
Well, when does not knowing how something works ever stop us?
So far, never.
Never, not once.
We but have go a ahead. Perfect track record.
Well, yes.
So the part that I already knew this morning was that developers soon will be able to interact directly with customer comments in the App Store. So someone posts a comment, they can respond to it, and that's great. If you have a really popular app and you're just one person doing everything, good luck keeping up. But you know, the feature's there. So what I found out,
but they don't have to respond. They don't you know, and developer, it's not like they need to give a thank you to every single,
right? You know, but if there's a problem and they want to address it, and they have several people that are responding to them, that could get a little cumbersome. But yeah, they're not required to respond to anything. But here's the thing that I learned since recording Daily Observations this morning. Mm-hmm. Your responses aren't going to be threaded. So someone posts a comment and then you as the developer respond. Now, the person that posted the comment can go edit their original comment in response to what the developer said. And now the developer can go and edit their response based on the new edits that the commenter posted. So they can go back and forth and have a whole conversation, but there's only a comment and a response that will be changing over time. So anyone else that is looking at whatever they're saying won't have context if either of them has edited what they've said.
Okay, but is that initial response threaded? Is it going to be a paired to the comment that you're responding to?
Yes, those will be paired. So okay. At least there's that.
Yeah. Yeah, all right. So it could get messy. And of course, developers are people. And it turns out that some people are idiots. Mm-hmm. And some people don't know how to socially interact. Some people, right? I mean, you know. There's a subset of people who are idiots and don't know how to respond. And so in that regard, some developers are not going to handle this well. But by and large, I think this opportunity for when someone has a complaint, especially complaint about something that's not actually accurate about the app, mm-hmm. For a developer to be able to respond to that and for people to be able to see to it, I think that'll be extraordinarily useful.
I agree. I think that's going to be really useful. The disappointing part out of this is that it shows that once again, Apple still doesn't get how to do social stuff online.
No, it's just fascinating. Why does Apple have such a hard time with that?
I don't know. It's not like there isn't anything out there that they could mimic.
Yeah. Yeah, like the Apple Connection for Apple Music. Mm-hmm. Could have been so freaking awesome.
Yeah. Ping could have been a good thing too.
Ping could have been amazing. If Steve had asked Mark Zuckerberg, can we please do this? Here's some money.
Yeah. But no. Right?
Ping would have been freaking awesome out of the box with Facebook support.
And where is Ping now?
Dead.
So dead.
And I worry that Apple Connect will, is that what it's called? Am I getting that right?
I don't know if it's Apple Connect or just Connect.
Apple, let's find out. We have, if only there were some Apple Connect.
And for those of you that don't know what we're talking about, well, that probably says a lot about the state of the service. It's a part of Apple Music where musicians, artists can share with their fans. So it's more of a one-way sharing where they provide information to us as fans. And so you get behind the scenes things and they'll share information about upcoming shows or albums, stuff like that.
Yeah. And yeah, they can post videos and they can do all this stuff. One of the things that they haven't been able to do is get information back about how people are using it. Because Apple is very keen on protecting our privacy. And in this particular regard, I think Apple should probably be a little less protecting.
Yeah. I mean, if nothing else, they could tell the artists, people really aren't interested in some specific type of content or when you are posting
just
backstage videos, people are watching those more.
Yeah. Like viewer numbers and things like that.
Yeah.
and, you know, and
that can be anonymized. That seems like a reasonable thing.
It does seem like a reasonable thing. And Apple may have been actually changing that over the last few months. I haven't kept up on Connect, but you were correct, by the way. It's called Connect.
Okay.
Oh, no. Apple Music Connect.
Oh.
So but it's also, so like the
so we'll compromise. We'll say we're both wrong.
The title of this page was iTunes Working with iTunes Connect Fact Apple, right? That's the title of the page in my tab.
Uh-huh.
But the H1 title at the top of the page is Apple Music Connect.
Okay.
So I have a feeling that Apple calls it Connect and it's attached to Apple Music.
Okay. So I was generally more right than you, even though we were both wrong. I was less wrong. When did being wrong become a competition?
I think you just made up.
Yeah. Well, there we go. Go us. All right. So anyhow, Apple Music Connect sure would have been nice if that would have hung around.
Oh, this is, can I
spit it out?
No, it doesn't belong in the show.
Okay. Well, then we have something special to talk about after the show. And listeners, if you really want to know what it was that Brian didn't want to talk about on the show, when you run into us at some event, ask.
I am sending you a link in Slack right now. Oops, wrong link. How interesting.
I'm not going to tell people what the wrong link was. I'm just going to let them wonder.
There we go. How about this one? Yeah, look at that. Look at that right now.
Yeah, we're not talking about that on the show. Good call. I understand why you want to, but good call. So, yes, listeners, you can ask us when you see us, and then we can tell you what it is that Brian so desperately wants to go apoplectic about on the show.
Yeah, I just retweeted it. So I'm a TM O'Brien. TM O'Brien, the Twitter. TM O'Brien. You can look for a retweet from author John Scalzi.
All right. Now people know what to go look for.
Right. So anyway, this is good. This is good. I think we're going to see far more good come out of the developer. The ability for developers to respond, then we'll see any kind of problems.
I agree. I think overall this is a good thing. I'm just frustrated that Apple clearly still doesn't get how to do some of the social communication stuff.
Yeah, and you should be able to see the edits being made, in my opinion. But whatever. Yeah. Hopefully that'll come. Let's see. We also have a new file system for iOS 10.3. That's kind of like huge.
The new Apple file system, APFS.
Yeah.
It's huge because this is heralding the end, sort of HFS Plus, which is what we're using on our Macs and have been using for quite a while now. And so we're getting a unified file system for macOS and iOS. And just to be clear, that doesn't mean we have the Finder on our iPhones. It just means the underlying infrastructure that handles the file management part is going to be shared between macOS and iOS.
Right. Very interesting stuff. So that's a huge in the background kind of thing.
Yeah. And so Brian, here's what I did when I installed the developer beta. I just installed it because I figured that's what the average person will do when it officially rolls out. So I wanted to see if something was going to go horribly wrong, and it didn't. The transition from the file system we were using or are currently using to what we will be using was totally seamless for me. That said, do like I did and make sure you have a really good backup of your iOS devices. before you upgrade to 10.3 when it comes out, because it does use a new file system, and if something's going to go wrong, that's a really good place for it to happen.
That is a good point. Do you have a backup for yours, for yourself?
Oh, yeah. I have multiple backups of all my iOS devices.
Sweet.
Yeah. So had I needed to roll back, there would have been much wailing and gnashing of teeth, and then I would have done it, and it would have been fine.
CarPlay is going to have, this is according to 9to5 Mac, is going to have quick access to the last three used apps.
That seems like a smart move, because my guess is there's only a couple apps that people use consistently
in their cars.
In their cars.
Yeah. So, and you'll be able to do this without accessing the home screen.
Oh, see, that's even better.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll be good.
That's really smart. Hey, how about that theater mode that we've been hearing about?
Well, it's not going to be on an iOS 10.3.
No, it's not even going to be an iOS proper. It's a watchOS feature.
Yes. Turns out it's a watchOS feature.
Okay, so get this. WatchOS 3.1.3, which came out on Tuesday. Is that right? It actually includes theater mode, but it's hidden away and not available to us. So it's already there. Apple's going to turn it on when they roll out the watchOS 3.2 update.
What's it do?
What it does is it makes your Apple Watch less annoying or distracting in movie theaters, or actually any setting, but they're focusing on movie theaters because you're in a dark place where people want to watch a movie and not get interrupted by someone that thinks that they need to be on their phone or their smartwatch during the show. Right. So what happens is when you activate theater mode, it mutes your watch and it shuts off the display, and it shuts off the raise on wake feature as well. So the problem that I tend to have with my Apple Watch, if I'm moving around in the theater, sometimes when I move my arm, like to go get some popcorn out of the popcorn bucket, my Apple Watch screen will light up.
Yep.
So with theater mode, that won't happen. Your notifications will still come in, so you get your haptic feedback for those. And if you really, really need to look at the screen for whatever reason, you can tap it or press the digital crown, and that'll wake up the display temporarily, which actually is a good thing, because at some point you want to take it out of theater mode.
Doesn't take you out of theater mode.
No. Okay. It just temporarily lights up the display. Right. Yeah. So
yeah, that's good. That's useful.
I think it's really useful. Thing.
And do you remember that we didn't talk a bunch about it here, but I think we talked about it on TDO. There's the company. What are they called? The geofencing company.
Oh yeah, the geofencing company. The one that is doing the drone, no fly zone stuff.
Yeah, that's some of what they're doing. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. I can't remember the name of the company,
but, it's, geofencing,
you know, you wrote an article about it. We talked about it on TDO or when we were at CES, we've talked about it since.
Yeah. And I cannot remember the name of this company.
That's funny I can even tell you what you were wearing when you were talking about it at CES.
Yeah, and
I can't tell you the name of the company.
I mean, the card, I have it, but I don't know where it is. Darn it. Anyway, so what they're doing is they're going to allow companies to register physical coordinates. And not just companies, people too. Mm-hmm. So I could register the geofencer of my house.
Right.
And that would theoretically include space above my home.
Right. So you won't have to potentially worry as much about the paparazzi trying to get their shots of you.
Well, you know, and the interesting thing there is that as cameras get better, not going to be able to keep up. So, I mean, one of the examples, okay, anyway, so here's the deal. They register, you can register these geofences, and kind of in the same way that a domain name is registered.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone who is buying into this registry, for instance, drone makers, the devices would ship with the ability to recognize these geofences.
And then they just can't fly into them.
And they wouldn't be able to fly into them. They wouldn't operate.
Yeah.
Right. And drone makers would actually like to have, believe it or not, at least according to this company, and this makes sense to me. Drone makers are looking for a regulatory framework because they don't want to get sued.
Right.
And if they're operating within a regulatory framework, their liability is lessened.
Right.
Right. And the case that the company was using at CES was the case, I think it was in Kentucky, where a guy had two teenage daughters who were in their backyard, and slime bags were filming them from above with drones.
Okay, that is so uncool.
Very uncool. And he shot the drone down with a shotgun.
Okay, that's not safe.
Well, it's probably safe. Why would it be unsafe?
Okay, so if you use a shotgun and you shoot into the air to knock a drone out, what happens to all of the pellets? They all have to come back down.
Yeah, but they don't come down with the same force that they left.
They're still very dangerous.
Fair enough. Nonetheless, he shot the drone down with a shotgun. Four burly guys, this is according to the company, I wasn't there. Four burly guys then show up at his house because they want their drone.
Sure.
And they're apparently upset. I mean, like, you know, the nerve. How do you get upset when your drone gets shot down when you're filming somebody's teenage? I mean, whatever. People are anyway. He answers the door with a shotgun in his hands. Things could have gotten ugly. There were lawsuits. Mm-hmm. And a Kentucky judge ended up deciding that this man had the right to shoot these drones down over his house.
Okay, that's kind of scary, but okay.
It is scary, and here's why it's scary. Whether or not you agree with that, the idea of these things being settled on a state-by-state basis, and in some cases through state regulations, and in some cases through judicial actions,
mm-hmm.
makes for a hodgepodge of regulations across the United States.
Right. Well,
that's actually the scary thing.
Well, even within a state, you could have different municipalities that have different regulations.
That's conceivable, right? I mean, it's also possible that a state legislature would pass specific regulations that are comprehensive and
right.
And that actually cover the whole state. So what drone manufacturers would rather see are federal regulations. And one of the things that they would like to see, according to this company, and again, I buy into this logic, is they would love to see this this registry take place. Like, for instance, domain names are actually they're managed by ICANN, ICANN.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not a governmental body. It is a private group that manages domains for the entire planet, and everybody buys into it.
Right. Okay. That's
what this company wants to be.
All right. Well, that's really smart, because if you want to be the ICANN of
drone
geofencing, then you need to be jumping on this right now. So that's actually really smart of them.
It is. But there's more, and this is why we're talking about this right now. There's more to this, because geofences don't just have to be recognized by drones.
Yeah, they could be recognized by anything.
Smartphone. Right. Apple or Samsung or Google or LG or Microsoft or whomever could build in the ability for your smartphone to recognize geofences and control what happens within those geofences on your phone. And that's where we get scary.
Yeah, that gets really scary. I can see where people could present what seem like reasonable arguments supporting such a thing. Nonetheless, that's really scary, because if you have that level of control over someone's electronic devices, you now have the ability to control who they talk to and when and where.
Yeah, what this does, it has the potential for putting capital in charge of our devices. Because it's capital that's going to exert the most control over things like geofences. I mean, it's one thing for me to control, like if you enter my house, man, your smartphone just goes off because you're here to visit me. You're not here to be on your smartphone. So, you know, if you want to come into my home, you know, those are the rules.
Don't bring your negative radiation into my home, man.
Right. And that's one thing, because I can choose not to go into your house. And of course, I could choose not to go into a business. But the reality is that we got to go into businesses.
Right.
And so what this means, for instance, is that Apple could in cooperation with the Moscone Center. Let's pretend that they were still doing events at the Moscone Center.
Okay, I'm pretending.
Actually, I guess they are still
doing. Yeah, it's called Worldwide Developer Conference.
Right, at least for now. But so the Moscone Center would own the geofence for its building, right? And so when I walk into WWDC now, I can't record anything. My camera doesn't work. If I walk into an Apple store, my camera doesn't work.
I don't like that.
I can't take voice recordings. Right, the microphone doesn't work. These are things that could actually happen, and not just with Apple, anywhere. Now let's actually extend that to the government. So now the police have the ability to set up a geofence.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because this is doable. This is not what this company is looking for, but this is doable. Where then you enter into a protest zone, and you can't record anything.
Yeah, that would be bad.
That would be really freaking bad. The same thing from a whistleblower standpoint, from a reporting any kind of problem standpoint, you know, companies being able to turn off your smartphone when you enter the premises, that to me is scary and dangerous stuff.
Yes. And I have to point out that I think it's amazing how we went from you starting to talk about how theater mode could eventually be a geofenced thing, and we ended up here.
Well, and that's you know, those are some of the examples that we might like, if we, especially if we don't delve too deeply into the first and into the details.
Right. And just so you know, I wasn't like trying to make fun of you. I just thought it was fascinating how quickly we went down that path, but it's also totally appropriate, because if you can control how I use my phone in a theater, you can control how I use my phone anywhere.
And I'm not comfortable with that. And you know, I think many of us would go, great. Oh my God. Are you kidding? So like, you know, people won't be able to get phone calls in theaters. Well, you know, yeah, that would be fantastic, except for the emergency phone calls.
Right.
You know, and it turns out that kind of hard to,
Separate the two. Yeah, saying don't go to the theater if you're going to get an emergency call. Okay, that's part of the nature of an emergency call. You don't know when it's going to happen. Right.
But, you know, walking in and having all of our Apple Watches go into theater mode, that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah. My Apple Watch isn't a critical communication device like my iPhone is.
So. Well, and theater mode is not silencing your watch. You'd still get your haptic feedback.
Right. And you can still tap the screen to see the display. Yeah. So I'd be okay with something like that. But they shouldn't do it, because that's one step in or down the path of controlling how we use our devices everywhere.
Yes. And by controlling, again, this would be capital being in charge of our devices.
Yeah.
And that is a scary, scary world. Now, to this company's credit, I know we mentioned this on TDO, but when I push back on all this stuff with these guys, and they said, well, you know, we don't have an agenda here. Help us shape the conversation.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, it is. Their goal here is not to put capital in charge of our devices. Their goal here is to meet the market need for geofences, and there is a need for geofences. I mean, they're like, for instance, how ridiculous is it that there are so many flyover videos of Apple's campus? Is that really fair to Apple?
You know, on one hand, no, but on the other hand, there's nothing right now to stop that. And there are a lot of people that are really excited to see what Apple's doing.
Or, you know, an auto plant. I mean, should someone be able to fly a drone over an auto plant? You know, should someone be able to fly a drone over the Google campus? I mean, admittedly, no one gives a crap about the Google campus. You know, it's people are interested in Apple.
You know, that's kind of funny. I hadn't thought about the Google campus. There's a Google campus that's being built blocks away from where I live in Boulder.
Oh, yeah. I've seen all the flyover drones of its progress. Oh,
yeah.
No, I haven't.
No, you haven't. I haven't seen anything for that. It doesn't have the sexy look of a spaceship. See, though.
Here's the other side about this, though. This geofencing concept. It is only a matter of time before a drone can be a mile in the air, or 2 miles in the air, or 3 miles in the air, and Apple doesn't control the airspace. But you know, it's different state by state. But if you have any kind of right to the airspace above your home, it's measured in the hundreds of feet at most.
Yeah. And actually, there are already commercially available higher altitude drones that fly for the sole purpose of capturing photo and video footage. And they've been used.
There are legitimate commercial uses for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they could also be used to, you know, to shoot the teenage girls in the backyard.
Sure.
And, you know, well out of shotgun range.
Yeah. By the way, if you've just shot someone's drone out of the sky, which you shouldn't have done, and you go inside.
I don't know. I kind of don't blame him. I mean, I don't know if I would handle it that way.
No, he really shouldn't have done that.
Well, what's he supposed to do? He's supposed to let it stay up there?
No. Have your girls come inside and then you call your local authorities and.
But there was no law preventing what these guys were doing. That's part of the problem.
Well, then you start working on getting laws. I know we're in a bad place right now because there's nothing in place to stop people from doing this. But shooting guns into the sky is a really bad idea. And also, when the four guys show up at your door, don't open the door. That was a bad idea too.
Yeah, all right, fair enough.
Yeah.
I imagine he's a little hot under the collar.
Yeah. Well, of course, he's hot under the collar. He took a shotgun out in his backyard and shot a drone out of the sky. I have no problem with guns. I'm actually very proficient with many different types of firearms, which is probably why I'm so tense about the fact that he took a shotgun out in his backyard and shot it up into the sky.
Yeah, no, fair enough. I get that. I just kind of don't blame him. And for all we know, he didn't have any neighbors. I don't know much about his specific.
Yeah, that's okay. That's another part of this. I don't know if his place is really isolated or if he's
we're like really down the rabbit hole though.
Yeah. But anyhow, so theater mode. Yeah.
Yeah, theater mode. It's going to be good. All right. Let's listen to Blue Apron. Blue Apron is our sponsor. We love these guys. I can't wait for my next Blue Apron shipment. I loved my Blue Apron meals. Loved them. I made a quiche, dude. I've never made a quiche.
You
never
made a quiche in my life. Your quiche.
I did.
That's not code.
And that's not code. It's not a euphemism. I made a quiche, and it was really, really good. And I was doing the three meals for two people plan. Mm-hmm. And my point being that...
That you made something you really like, and you'd never done it before.
Yeah, and I had leftovers, and the leftovers were good, too. Actually, all three of my leftover meals were very, very tasty as leftovers. And I learned how to cook something. Right, I've mentioned this. I'm a pretty good cook, but I don't have a large repertoire of things that I cook. Mm-hmm. And I actually learned something about cooking on each of the three meals that I did.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it is. It's extremely awesome. I was very pleased, to be honest.
I let friends be part of my cooking experience. Uh-huh. And I specifically. Well, not specifically. It just worked out this way quite nicely. They're foodies. So they're very picky people. And they loved the quality of the ingredients that Blue Apron sends out. And the recipes totally made sense. And
yeah, you get these cards that have a picture of the ingredients that you're going to be using so that you can easily sort them out. The step-by-step instructions, you got pictures along the way. The ingredients are all fresh. Mm-hmm. The high-quality stuff is what I got. Very, very high quality. High-quality produce, high-quality meats.
Really good stuff.
It was all quite good. And here's the thing. Uh-huh. Because they're sponsoring us, you get three of your first meals free.
Yeah, which is great. You know, you and a friend, you're going to have some dinners together, and you do like meals for three people. Half of them are free.
Yep, exactly. Which is amazing. So all you have to do is go to blueapron.com/ACM.
Wait, I didn't have my pen handy. What was that again, Brian?
You can check out this week's menu and get your three of your first meals free by going to blueapron.com/ACM.
Got it.
Right. And it's, you don't have to do a coupon code, just blueapron.com/ACM. That lets them know that you're going there from us. Because you heard it from the show, we'd really like you to do this. This company is doing something special. This is a really good offer. And the
food is good.
And the food is good. The food is really, really. I cannot tell you how much I enjoyed my meals. I enjoyed cooking them, and I enjoyed eating them. And I would happily cook them for someone else. Proudly cook them for someone else.
Which you can do, because the instruction cards include all the ingredients. So you can go to the store and buy the stuff you need to do it again.
Yeah, that's true. That's absolutely true. That's absolutely true. You'll know and love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. It's blueapron.com/ACM, and you're going to get three meals off your first order for free.
That's awesome.
Yes. Free shipping.
Free shipping.
It's good stuff. This is good stuff. If you are busy and you cook and you're busy, this is like having your groceries delivered to you.
Yeah. And you don't have to worry about whoever went and picked out your groceries doing a bad job, because yeah. Blue Apron does a great job.
Right. And again, for me, I mean, I know we're all different. We're all very different. But I love the fact that I'm being taught how to make things. I love that. I personally love that. My repertoire of things that I cook well has expanded by three meals.
That's awesome.
This is a good thing. Yeah, this is a great thing. I'm super stoked about it. So please go and check them out. blueapron.com/ACM, and we appreciate their sponsorship immensely.
Yes, we do.
All righty. Now let's get into the rage-inducing thing.
Now, here's the funny thing, listeners. We actually hadn't gotten to the rage-inducing part yet. I know you might have been thinking we'd already done that, but nope, here we go.
The Trump administration has appointed a new commissioner, a new chairman for the Federal Communications Commission. That's the FCC to you and me.
Right. So he appointed Ajay Pai, who has been on the commission since 2012, and he's been one of two Republicans on the commission.
Yeah, this fascist piece of crap does not believe in internet net neutrality, and he doesn't believe in pesky regulations that protect privacy from customers.
Yeah, what he wants to do is strip out as many regulations as he can and open up not just the internet, but all different types of communication. All different parts of the communication market. That's what he wants to open up to businesses to be able to operate without the regulatory restrictions they face today.
Right. And so, in other words, Comcast would be able to charge you for Netflix, or charge Netflix for Netflix, or block Netflix, or block whatever the hell they don't want.
Block Google search results.
Right. Or redirect your Google search results.
Sure. Okay. So now that might sound a little hyperbolic, but
it's not.
Here's a scenario. Let's say that you are using an internet service provider that also happens to own, say, a cable television company. So they have their own streaming content. And what you want to do is buy a DVD of season one of Wonder Woman. So you do a Google search.
The 70s version?
Well, yeah.
Okay. All right. Just making sure.
Because Linda Carter was amazing.
Yes, she was.
She truly blazed a new trail. She was fantastic on so many levels. Anyhow, so you want to get season one of Wonder Woman because that was the World War II version and not the let's move it up to the 70s version. And
which was weird.
Yeah, that was weird.
But
yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay, so you do a Google search, Wonder Woman season one DVD, and instead of getting a search result that shows how you can buy this off of Amazon or from Best Buy or Target or Walmart or whatever, you end up getting search results that show you how you can watch this on your internet service provider's streaming video service or through your cable box.
Yes. That very, very, not, that's not only possible, that's likely.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you know, as much as our listeners have heard me complain about Google's business model, Google is a paragon of awesomeness compared to what this administration's leadership of the FCC is going to bring to us.
Right.
I mean, you know, at least Google doesn't want to control where you actually. Google did have this very nasty period where they were messing with their own algorithms to promote their own crappy services above the services of competitors.
They got caught. I mean, saw the error of their ways.
They got caught and they changed that to their credit. And that is the exception to the rule for Google. Rather, in general, Google doesn't care what you do as long as they can eavesdrop on it and then sell you advertising accordingly. But right. at least they're not normally trying to mess with your traffic. Right? And I mean, Google benefits from net neutrality. And Google knows that Google benefits from net neutrality, and Google has always supported net neutrality. So as much as our listeners have heard me bitching and complaining, kind of like a Nightshade is right now, about...
Yeah, she's pretty tense about net neutrality.
I don't blame her. As much as people have heard me in particular bitch about Google, Google is not the problem here. It's going to be your ISPs in particular the problem. It's going to be your Comcast. It's going to be your Verizon. So these are companies.
Your Time Warner's.
Your Time Warner's.
Well, now AT&T because they own DirecTV.
Right, and are also cable providers.
Yep.
And these companies have a proven track record of screwing us in horrible ways at every opportunity. And it's the FCC that has kept them from doing that by and large.
True. Okay. So now we're sitting here talking about how horrible this is. But we do have at least a chance to keep this from coming true. And that's because the open internet order, before that can be shot down from within the FCC, the FCC has to have an open comment period where there'll be like a few months where interested parties, which includes businesses and users and experts, so all of us, we can provide our comments to the FCC supporting why we think the open internet order should stay in place or why it should not. And the more people that are providing intelligent arguments, the better.
Yeah, not going to change anything. This is going to happen. This is going to happen, man. These fascist pieces of crap are not interested in reality. They are interested in their own version of reality where capital and the free markets automatically make all the best choices in the world. And that's what's best for consumers. And we better like it.
Okay, so now here's the second phase of this. Let's say that the FCC ends up not being able to change the order because they can't prove that it needs to go away. Okay, that's great. But Congress can then pass laws that change how the FCC works or that override the regulations that they've created.
So, right, and that's not going to happen with this Congress either, because this Congress is largely in lockstep with this crap.
Yeah, so that means that if you want to make sure that net neutrality stays, and still it's a crapshoot whether or not we will get to keep it, you need to let the FCC know. You need to let your senators and your representatives know,
and you need to vote accordingly.
Yeah,
right. And you need to put your money accordingly, right? This isn't about, well, this is largely about party lines. The Democrats have largely supported net neutrality, and the Republicans have largely not supported net neutrality. And but that's not, it's not a hard and fast line. There are definitely Republicans who do support net neutrality, and there's probably some Democrats who don't, right? But, you know, this is one of the jillions of topics that is worth voting for. And voting on.
Yes. And it's something that we all need to stay on top of, because if we lose net neutrality, not only do we start having problems like, why does my Netflix stream not work? Oh, well, it's because Netflix needs to pay Comcast and Time Warner and everyone else extra money, so your feed goes through.
Or it's just because Comcast no longer wants to let Netflix traffic come through at all.
Right. Or here's another scenario. Let's say that we lose net neutrality. Now our internet segments become essentially segregated from each other with small pass-throughs for whatever data has been approved. Mm-hmm. And we lose one of these nodes. You know, there's a power failure. There's lines cut by accident. There's some sort of espionage, whatever. And we lose a major section of that infrastructure. The way it's set up now, it can fail safe and roll over, and data gets passed through other parts of the network. But if we put net neutrality out to pasture, and ISPs have the ability to lock their competition out, then we lose one node. There's nothing to fall back on.
Yeah, maybe.
It's something to keep in mind.
It's something to keep in mind. I mean, the thing is that net neutrality puts we the people in charge of the data that we consume. And eliminating net neutrality puts capital in charge of the data you consume. That is the thing. Do you want capital in charge of what you can get on your mobile devices? Do you want capital in charge of what you can get on your Macs or your PCs or whatever? If you don't want that, you need to support net neutrality, and you need to do it by writing into the FCC, as Jeff noted, and letting your senators and representatives know. And you could let the White House know, but they're not going to bloody well care.
Yeah. And as far as letting the FCC know, when they have their open period for comments, there will be a place on the FCC website where you can post comments.
Right. Honestly, I don't expect that to matter. I am a demagogue on the side of net neutrality, mm-hmm. and Ajit is a demagogue on the side of
not
of free markets. Mm-hmm. So I honestly don't think I hate saying this because it sounds like I'm discouraged. What I'd really like to see is I would like to see the FCC flooded with comments from those companies who support net neutrality and those of us as consumers who support net neutrality, and then to do the opposite thing. That's what I'd really like to see, because it's going to happen. And if it's going to happen, I would like it to be done obviously against the will of the people. That's what I mean. If it's going to happen anyway, I would like that will to have been demonstrated. Yeah, am I making any sense? I'm getting a little hot under the collar here.
You're hot under the collar.
Where's my shock? I'm going to answer the door.
Watch out for those drones. So basically what you're saying, Brian, is that even when the odds seem completely against us, we can't give up. We need to fight for what is right. And in this case, fighting to maintain neutrality is right. And if we don't fight for it now, we don't have any chance to save it at all.
Correct. Correct. And once this is one of those slippery slopes that, I mean, it's going to be relatively easy for the anti-net neutrality forces to reverse net neutrality. It's going to be harder to reverse that.
Right. So we need to do what we can now to keep that from happening.
Yes. Yes, we do. And this is one of those places where politics intersects technology, where politics has a direct control over the tech world.
Yeah, a very real control.
A very real control.
Yeah. Are you calming down a little bit now?
No, I'm not at all calm. Not even a tiny bit calm about this.
I was just checking.
I am cranky as all get out.
I hadn't picked up on that. Huh.
This is awful. This person, Ajit Pai, is a fascist piece of crap. He's awful. He's an awful human being.
Yeah, his beliefs are clearly not in line with ours as far as free passage of data, and well, probably in many other ways.
Yeah, and free. I mean, like this is so much more than just technology. This is so much more than technology than consuming Netflix. This is about putting capital in charge of what happens to information. And that's wrong. It is wrong. It is fundamentally flawed. It is fundamentally wrong.
Yep. So, okay, when the FCC's page is live, where we can all offer our comments, we will let you guys know. And I'm using guys in the very generic sense, meaning everyone.
Yeah, and by we, you may be using that in a generic sense too, because I might be in prison at that point.
So what I'm saying is when that day comes, I'll post an article, everyone, so that all of you can go and share your comments, and then we'll go visit Brian in prison. Maybe we'll take him a cake.
Yeah, exactly. That'd be fantastic.
That'd be fantastic. Yeah. All right, we should probably stop before you have an aneurysm. Yeah. Also, we're kind of out of time. Yeah.
Fine.
And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write us at acm@macobserver.com. And hey, thanks for listening.
Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by CashFly. The bass is by Boom, recorded just for TMO. And that's all for this week.
Hey, stay subscribed.
You know, it just, like, none of this stuff, it's not rocket scientists. This stuff is, we'll see you online at the Mac Observer.
Kind of want some of that Wembley pie.